Resolution 24-398, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of Council at
6:34 p.m.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And then Resolution 24-399, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held July the 2nd, 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. We're back in regular session. We'll do a roll call again.
Councillor Marley Haskin.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Deb Zula.
Councillor Mike Kekkonen.
Acting Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. On to delegations and presentations. I think in this particular, well, I can read the resolution first if you wish, although it deals with something that hasn't happened yet. And that'll start us off, though.
Sure.
So we have Resolution 24-400, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the deputation from Peter Duffy, member of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee, presenting the proposed metal sign design for recycling education to be placed on the compactors at the transfer station, and further approve the signage and its placement on the compactors, and further approve up to $350 in the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee's budget be used to purchase the signage and mounting hardware. Okay, so we have the presentation from Mr. Duffy, and not that it's passed yet, we haven't voted on it, so you can still do your presentation.
Okay. Thank you, Your Worship, and Councillors, for the opportunity to speak before you this evening. A few changes to what was sent to you in your package after quite a robust conversation with Councillor Ryland this morning about some suggested changes to what we were doing. Obviously, the whole recycling thing has become a big issue to the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee. I've learned more about recycling in the last couple of weeks than I probably have in my life about what can and cannot go in the bins. The picture that Carly put up on the screen there is indicative of our problem. Plastic bags are not allowed in the compactors. That bin is going to be deemed contaminated, and it is going straight into the landfill because of that. So we need to undertake some sort of an education campaign to get people a little more in the know about what they can and cannot do. I know when I moved up here from down south, I just did recycling the way I did when I was in my township, but it varies from township. You've seen and approved the brochure, which will be ready to go any day, or we'll have it any day, and we'll get it to you guys to put in the tax unit. And I know Carly has talked to Waste Management and Bracebridge to see if they can get a few of us out there to have some really good conversations with them about the do's and don'ts of this and what actually happens to that. But we need to do a little more. One of the things that we came up with is the signs that are on the compactors. You've got that in your package. They were pretty straightforward. Know your numbers for the things that are going in there. One of the conversations that Councilman Ryland and I had this morning related to the possibility of using colors. And thank you, Carly, for printing off the signs. There's a couple of different versions. The one that you have, does, if you look at the bottom one, it doesn't have the lines.
Yeah.
So the lines breaks it up a little bit more and makes it a little bit easier to read when you're quickly looking at it. Obviously, the very top one with the green and the red, we try and make it a little bit would really draw your attention to it, but we have been advised by the printers that make these signs, the colors will fade extremely fast. The middle one is sort of a hybrid of the two, accepted and not accepted being in color. Again, we were trying to stay away from it. One of my concerns about when we start adding color to the signs, why is the township logo not in color? And then why is the recycling logo, which would typically be blue, not in color? The committee's preference was to try and stay away from color to black and white. I do like the addition of the lines there. As you will see in the submission, some of the detailed explanation, the committee, when we met LSEC, we did not have the actual estimates, so we couldn't actually approve it. What we're hoping from council tonight is that you would agree on one of these formats, give us the $350 expenditure to print and install these. The money will come from the existing budget. There will be no additional expense. We do have some, I don't know if it's bursaries or honorariums that we were going to use for experts that we were bringing in that we're probably not tapping into. We fully expect to come in under budget this year, so the $350 will come from well within that. The other thing I would like to point out, the very last line, on the in your package, it talks about if we get contamination, the township gets billed. Therefore, the taxpayer gets billed. And that was a little bit of a attack at the heartstrings, so to speak, on our part. But you're paying for this. If you mess up that bin with those plastic bags, you are ultimately paying for it. In conversations with Councillor Ryan this morning, it's not clear to me if we actually get charged for that, or if the charge that we pay for contamination is part of a flat rate in the contract. 12%, you were saying that.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I don't want to put out misinformation that says, hey, we are getting charged for this, but we're not sure. Perhaps you know, Carly, you know if we actually are getting charged.
We will be now, because effective yesterday was the blue box transition, so now we will be.
So now you will be, okay. Correct. So that line, I took out that you're getting charged, and it just says it's now becoming general garbage. If we're comfortable with that, we can leave it as printed on the sign that's in your package. Our recommendation would be to go with the bottom one with the lines, because it does divide it up nicely. And if we have 100% confidence in that, yeah, maybe we can tug at people's heartstrings a little bit that you mess up these recycling bins, it's going to cost you tax dollars.
Councilor Ryan?
Peter and I, as he mentioned, talked about this morning at length. I recall, I thought I had a copy, which is why I brought that big ugly file, and I can't find it in that file, but I recall that we got a copy of an invoice that said it was 12%, and basically every bill for the last year had been 12%. In other words, that there really wasn't any quantitative assessment of how they arrived at 12%, and it seems to me, just looking at it, that it's just same old bill, same old bill, same old bill. And then that's what I said to Peter. Now, having said that, with circular materials getting involved in this, it would be them billing us, not?
No, Waste Connection still does the billing, but now we have an online portal that is to have way more detailed information, so
okay.
We should better determine our contamination rates going forward.
And again, going back to what Peter's already mentioned as well, if we can go and observe what they're doing and ask questions, we would have a lot more comfort with, here, in simple terms, Peter knows this as well, is that one of our motivations was to tell ratepayers, including us, that, you know, this is in your best interest to properly separate your recycled so that we don't get billed for contaminated material. But if you know, short of them dissecting a contents of a container, I don't really know how they would do this. Now, that's, you know, not our business, that's theirs, but I'd like to know how they propose to do this, because otherwise, making that statement, if we're just going to get charged 12% regardless of what our contamination rate is, then we can't in good faith make that statement to our ratepayers that, you know, this is beneficial for you to make, you know, to separate your recyclables. But from an environmental point of view, nothing to do with council or anything else, I would like to think that we would all like to do this because it helps the environment, that we all, you know, I don't know if we, I guess guess we benefit from it, but we would certainly lose from it if it's contamination getting everywhere. So it's critical from my point of view if we can get in to see what happens and get some hard figures. So.
Can the committee get me a couple dates? Just
people
that would like to attend and dates that work for them, and then
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think there's, I mean, we've waited
a long time.
So I'm not blaming you, I'm just saying.
It would just be helpful if you, if the committee gave me a couple days, then I'll work to see what the transfer station attendance available, and then we can get out there.
Sure.
Well, the bottom line does say depositing items that are not accepted can cause. So could you change the end, may be charged? That way you're fairly safe.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's not the same deterrent as is cause, but.
Yeah.
That leaves it open that you're not saying that you will be. My concern in all of this is, and we're trying to do the best we can, but even with these signs sitting there, people are usually in a rush to get rid of their garbage. They're just going to throw the plastics in. They're not going to read the sign anyway. I know we're trying to educate, and my concern is if we don't have an attendant right there or a helper to say that, you know, this is not accepted, it can be contaminated very quickly because people, in their own, you know, defense, I guess, it's plastic, so they just figure that's where to put it, whether it fits the criteria or not. So we still gonna have a problem, but I mean, it may help.
And to that point, two of the other things that we're doing at the Red Fest next weekend, the chair, Jennifer, will be in a booth. She's gonna have a table with the red tablecloth on it, a table with the green tablecloth on it, and they're gonna have items that you can and cannot do in recycling, and we're actually looking at MLCA has said they donate, it's like 150 bags of chips to us, and you can play a game where we'll give you a bunch of stuff in a bin, and you tell us which table it goes on. And if you win it, you get a bag of chips. If you're wrong, you still get the bag of chips. And the other thing that Councilor Ryland and I discussed this morning that we're definitely going to have to do, maybe for the period of a month, different volunteers each weekend, so actually go to the transfer station, stand in front and just say, do you mind if we take a look? Can we help you out? Most people are going there with good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's putting stuff in a recycling bin and taking it there is doing it with good intentions. I don't think they're going to be offended by us saying, do you mind if we take a look and try and help you out here about what's good and what isn't good? But you're right, Mr. Mayor. The amount of education behind this is massive. And this, I think we've really just kind of hit the tip of the iceberg on this one. This has really become a dog with a bone for this committee. I mean, we are an environmental committee. It's we're going to have to do a lot of work with this. It's a huge culture shift.
Councilor Zula.
You said your committee is privy to that, the one on the bottom. More or less like the one on the bottom?
I'd like to stay away from color only because of other printers. If I had my choice and I knew they'd last forever, I'd take that one.
And for me, I find the one in the middle because the accepted in the green and the red stands out, that I would look at, okay, accepted, whereas the one on the bottom, it all blends together, to me.
Yeah.
Like that, I would notice that one more, the one in the middle.
Yeah, we'd be fine with that. Again, like I said, I would go with colors, really like colors. I think they're really good. I'm just reiterating what the printers have told us, that anytime you use colors, it can fade. That said, the ones in your package, I don't know how long they've been sitting on those compactors. They're green on white. And they're still surviving, so.
Yeah.
The photos in the package is what you're referring to.
Yes,
yes.
Correct. Yeah. Maybe just the, so the signs that sit on the compactors right now are green on a white background. I don't know how long they've been there. I'm going to guess quite a while. They seem to be holding up, so maybe the middle one is the happy medium that we should try.
The only problem is with it. The medium one is if the colors do fade, it's a very important words going missing.
You're right.
Yeah.
Where, so if you're going to use color, then I would think you'd go back to the top one. And if those colors fade, that's not the end of the world. The information is still there. That's kind of my opinion on it.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of wondering, Peter, I don't know, I forget what was in the brochure, but what would really be nice is like this, exactly what you got there, that people could take home and say to take this home and stick it on the wall right at your recycling bins, and I think that would probably go a long way.
Again, I don't know what you remember from the brochure, but it is designed that you put that on the wall.
Okay, I thought maybe it did.
So that's all the nice verbiage?
Yeah, right.
That is what you put on the wall and
oh.
on top of your recycling bin as a hint. That's what I had from my last township, and I was like, that was the biggest
yeah.
thing I forgot.
You got our cover on that.
That's in my kitchen right beside my recycling bin. So all the recycling bins are outside, but anyhow. Because honestly, I have to look frequently to go, which ones again? So.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just wondering about the volunteers there as a potential liability. I'm not saying that some of the residents can be irascible, but.
It's a nice word.
Only to us.
Maybe to us. But I wouldn't want a confrontation where.
No.
You know, somebody now is being told by somebody they don't know that it has to go into the garbage and they're trying to recycle. I'm hoping it never happens, but.
I like the actual table set up, you know, with
yeah.
the actual items and people and showing them yes, no. I like that. So I don't know if Jennifer would work full time for the township.
I think she does. She just doesn't get paid for it.
Puts in a few hours.
Let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
One
last point, and Peter, you've heard me say this a couple times, but the simple truth is what was startling to me when I first found out this information was that in an attempt to be a good citizen and to recycle things, my basic thing was to put anything I thought was recycling in the recycling bin because you would think that would be better, and in actuality it makes it worse, right? You'd be better to take things that possibly could be recycled and put them in the garbage than contaminate otherwise good recycling by putting something that doesn't belong. So it's a real irony, quite frankly. But I think, I did ask Peter, I did ask Andy about it, you know, if we were to do this, again, from a friendly and helpful way, not, you know, demanding that you do it, not saying, let me see what you got. I mean, Peter, I think you said it exactly right. Can I help you and just have a look at what you got and help you determine whether it's recyclable or not? And as for plastic bags, those are a dead giveaway. We just simply say, put the contents in there, take the bag and put it in the garbage, right? But, and I know from watching other experiences that some people might be irascible, that's a nice word, and who knows. But I mean, I think if they accept it in the vein that it's offered, and if I'm doing it and I would like to do it at least one Saturday, if it's confrontational, I'll just back away and say, you know, go ahead, you know, do what you're going to do. But if we're going to put a dent in this thing environmentally, forget about any of the costs or anything else, then I think we've got to get the right message to people. And even if we only help half the people, it's still better than none of them. So,
Councilor Cracknell?
I think that the cost of this should be coming from the waste management expenditure heading in our budget. There's $2,000 that's budgeted this year for materials and supplies. I don't think it should be coming from the lake stewardship budget at all.
Sure.
This is a waste expenditure, so that's where that money should be coming from.
Valid point.
And I'm just wondering then if we have extra money, which, thanks, Mike. That was a good point. I know it's on the brochure, Peter, but I really like the number one there as a handout also. To people that, you know, that the brochure got
sure.
kind of folded away and is now buried in somebody's
sure.
desk. I think that
it's in the recycling bin.
just a thought.
Yeah, we could do that. And Carly, if we wanted to print a few hundred before a Saturday, is that doable?
Yeah, it would be a problem.
Yeah, because we could do a pick them up and take them there with us, and if they're not used, keep them for next week, right?
Yeah.
So
it kind of matches the fire department, you know, where you,
yeah,
you know, with the fire rating, you know, using colors. I think it goes along.
This is a huge project. As I said, the interesting thing is, every time you talk to somebody, they all go, "Ooh, I didn't know that."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been a real eye-opening thing for the township. Everybody I've talked to, we'll keep making headway on it as best we can.
Okay. Any further discussion on this? Thank you very much. And we have the amendment to the resolution that was taken out in the last further. So remove or delete further approve up to $350 in the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee's budget be used to purchase the signage and mounting hardware. So that is deleted. I'll call a question first of all on that deletion. All those in favor? None opposed. And then on the resolution itself as amended, call a question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried.
If the bill finds its way to you, all we need to do is have the bill sent to Roshan, our treasurer. And he'll get the budget and take it out of there. Just so it does not come out of the Lake Stewardship and Environment Committee spend.
And which sign did we approve?
That's a good point. We didn't specify that, did we?
I think the general feeling was that, and I can't go with Councillor Haskam as the first one, but as far as, I think the committee itself had approved the third one because of the fading of the color. And so I'm certainly in agreement with that, even though Councillor Zulak likes the colors.
No, that's fine. I just said that draws my attention when I see that all black and then I see the red and the green. It sort of made, oh, what is that? But it doesn't matter. It's whatever the committee.
Councillor Cagney?
I think the major improvement to the draft was the delineation with the lines, because prior to that you couldn't really differentiate what was accepted and not accepted.
Yeah, I'm good with number three, if we do the colored handout.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got enough information?
Thank you.
Great. Thank you for running this project and making sure that we'll see how it works in summer, but it can only be good, I think, because, like you say, people need to be educated. And
should the committee come back to council to seek approval to go on an education basis to the transfer station?
No, I think we can do it on a trial basis. My only concern would be that the public be made aware somehow who these people are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we would wear a sticker or something.
It would be our, I shouldn't speak because I haven't talked to Wade. It would be our intent to come back to council if we were going to.
Yeah.
We'd like to maybe talk to waste management first. I'd like to be a little more educated myself on the do's and don'ts about what is going on there. Some of the stuff that we discussed today about cereal boxes and milk cartons, I'd really like to know before we do that. And once we have that information, then we come back and say, here's our plan, what do you think?
Yeah, no, that's good, because there's always liability concern too. If something happens in there and you're working as a volunteer, we have to make sure that people are covered. Okay. All set.
Thank you, Peter.
On to 14. Resolution 24-401, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Haskam. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar has hereby approved the minutes of the June 18th, 2024 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to planning, 15.1, application to amend the zoning bylaw 171 Center Road rezoning. So we have resolution 24-402, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the application to amend the zoning bylaw for subject property 171 Center Road, as applied for by Lisa Coco, to rezone the lot addition to lands to rural. And further, that the application be deemed complete. Discussion?
And this was for the condition of the
planning board, yes.
Yeah, for the consent application. Now, we did receive an email with some concerns on that. With any of those concerns, do we have to react to any of those concerns? Or I'm hoping not.
This is the application from 2022, and it's one of the conditions?
Yes.
Is that correct? And back then, that those concerns were discussed. I listened to the audio recording again. Issues came up which seemed to be resurfacing, but the issues at the time seemed to be dealt with by the previous council, which you were part of, and so I think we're all set there. But if council has no further concerns, then I'll open it up to the public at this stage as well if they have any questions. Councilor Kekkonen?
There is two locations where there was nothing checked off in the boxes. 4.4 water supply, 4.5 sewage disposal. And in the application, it said there was a privy, but it's not checked in the application that I can see.
Yeah, there were a number of things with the application, like dates weren't put in either. They were just signatures. I don't know. Do we have Patrick's not online?
No.
Okay. far as the name, I mean, there is signature, so it's just a matter of questioning of the printing of the name up above. But.
And then the date.
Right, the date. Now, there is a date.
Yeah, updated January 10th, 22, it says at the bottom of the staff.
Well, it says dated in town clerk's on 20th day of June 2024. That's on. So that would cover the whole document. But so something, too, we also have to look at the actual document itself. I don't know, is this from Chris or who looks after the wording of the zoning amendment, because throughout it's Ontario Municipal Board is still referenced and it should be Ontario Land Tribunal.
It's an old form that we could just update.
Should be updated, so that's done internally?
Yes.
Okay. Councillor Kevin?
Regarding to the where it's just signed, that section 11 says consent of the owner. This section must be completed for the application to be processed.
Right.
And with those blanks not filled in, I think it would be hard to say that this section has been completed for the application to be processed. If it's missing the dates in this particular section, particularly because it says consent of owner.
Do you propose that we defer this then and ask them to complete it?
If there's other details as well that need to be sorted out, it might be deferred anyways.
Yeah, I mean, unless council went with the, as I said, the signature is there.
Yeah.
Which means more than just a name, even.
Yeah,
then
if it was the other way around, that would
right.
be a problem.
That would be
but, a yeah.
And then it also says declared before me, right? And it had been stated in June 24. I mean, they're just doing what they were supposed to do. Meeting one of the requirements, meeting all the requirements, because it was already, wasn't it already approved at the planning board? Back then, they just had to meet these requirements, and so this is actually just saying that they've met all the requirements. I mean, that was the previous council and the planning board.
It was one of the conditions of the
yeah.
planning board, yeah. And through the municipality, but if they rezoned.
I don't have a problem with it.
And what would be their date? It's 2022, so I guess it runs out.
It's coming up end of August.
End of August.
I mean, these people have been waiting since 22. Like,
well,
how long are we going to make them wait?
Have they been waiting, or they've just submitted it recently?
But I mean, didn't they put this in 22?
Not the rezoning.
Yeah, this is June 24th, June, sorry, 20th, anyhow, this year, so.
I just wondered if, are the applicants here? I just wondered if putting off for 2 weeks to have a check, especially to say check the water supply and sewage disposal, there might not be any, and that's why it wasn't filled out there. If it's just strictly the putting in the name and dates, well, it's really obvious, you know, like.
Well, to be honest, I've sat on the planning board for a number of years in the past and presently, and there are many applications that are incorrect, not filled in properly, and the planning board doesn't seem to be, as long as you have the important information signed. And Patrick, as I said, we don't know what the conversation was like, but if Patrick okayed it, and he's the secretary treasurer of the planning board, then I'm not going
yeah.
to question him. But
yeah, I think at some point you got to just look at it and say the intent is good.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Is that okay from council?
Good for me.
Yeah, I'm fine to go forward.
Okay, so if you're agreeable, open it to the public as well if they have person online? Any concerns with this rezoning?
Well, Mr. Mayor, it's Ted Davidson.
Yes, go ahead.
This consent was dealt with in 2022 by the Perry Sound Area Planning Board.
Right.
And it's been 2 years, and we're now just receiving the application for the rezoning. I don't understand why it wasn't filed between 22 and now. But one of the concerns I have is the ministry's classification of the Middle River in this area is all Class 1 fish habitat adjacent to the proposed merger of the two lots. None of this is dealt with in this application. I mean, there's no application details here. There's no site evaluation done. There's nothing. And I did the application in this form. It may have been filed with Patrick Christie rather than the township. But I don't know. I mean, the township is the one who has to consider this and deem the application to be complete.
One question I guess we had to, since you mentioned 2022, and I can't speak for the previous council, but it was all approved back then with this condition, right?
Well, the resolution back in 2022 was moved by Councillor Askam, who's here.
Right.
And the other councillor who seconded it, he is here, I believe.
Yes.
At the planning board, and they made these a condition. And it was also a condition of the Keller Council at the time, this council. That the rezoning be filed.
Yes, I mean, it's been inherited by this council from the previous council.
No, it wasn't the previous council, it was this council.
The previous council passed the resolution with the condition that went to the planning board. It was passed in 2022.
Okay, whatever. But you have a whole section in the official plan about complete application and what has to be filed. I don't know who accepted this application and what the requirements were to deem this application complete.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what the previous council had done at the time. I haven't found any resolution that it was complete back then in 2022, but there may have been one.
Well, regardless, you have an application for a zoning amendment in front of this council now.
Right.
You have to go through the official plan, and you have to make a determination as to whether or not this application is deemed complete in terms of, do you have all the correct information? I think Councillor Kekkonen has gone through the application in detail and indicated that there are virtually none of the sections have been addressed in the application.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with virtually none of them, but as I say, the signature is there, and Patrick has okayed it, and I'm okay with Patrick saying that it was a complete application.
Well, he only commissioned it.
Yes.
He didn't okay it. I mean, this council has to make a determination as to whether or not the application is complete or not.
Right.
So you can make that determination. I think you've got some comments that were made back in 2022, and you've got recent comments that were made. Well, we'll leave it up to you.
Okay. Any further comments? Call the question for council. All those in favor? One opposed? Carried. 15.2, resolution 24-403, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar has hereby received the application for Crown Land as applied for by Kathleen Howard for the Crown Lands across from 51 Brownlee Road to satisfy encroachment of existing buildings as per the Ministry of Natural Resources, and further direct staff to complete the municipal consent form stating the intended use conforms to the township's planning policies and provide no further comment. Discussion? I'll ask Carly if you have any further information. I'll put you on the spot here other than what you gave us, but this is an unusual situation for us to be involved with Crown Land, so I'm wondering, I guess, is this a requirement of the Natural Resources?
They do ask municipalities for their opinion through this municipal consent form. Do we have to submit? No. I think the application would still go through its normal processes, but they do give the municipality an opportunity to comment.
I know in the past with various things that come through to us, we just say we have no objection to, rather than it does conform. I don't know how much research we've done to prove that it does conform.
Yeah, because I guess it's actually creating a very large lot on waterfront now, right? So, well, Carly, was there any in-house work done, like to see how that amount of waterfront works on that lake?
No, I can put it to our planner for an opinion if council wants more information. Also, Chris Bortolo could take a look at it if you like as well.
We can do that, or we can go with just changing that to
no
objection to, but I'll put it off to council.
Yeah, I would think maybe Chris wants to look at it and give an opinion if he thinks.
Other councillors?
Well, I think that if there's no obligation for the township to comment, then I agree with your suggestion that the township has no obligation.
No objection.
No objection to.
Yeah, I would go with that. What is the lake in question?
Mary Jane,
it would just be no objection to this application. So the amendment is to delete intended use conforms to the township's planning policies and provide no further comment, and insert township has no objection to this application. Any discussion on the amendment? Call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? Okay, that's carried. So on the resolution itself as amended, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 17.1, resolution 24-404, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report PW-2024-04, scrap metal expression of interest, and further confirm the continuation of scrap metal services with Adams Brothers Construction, Inc. Discussion? I think we're sort of in a situation here. It's a service we're providing to the public, and I know the books have not been kept up to date in the past, and but no other people were interested in taking on the contract, and it's almost as if we're providing the service without any compensation for the metal that they collect. We're getting to that point, I think. I mean, if they are going to pay us for some of the metal, that's great, but it doesn't look like said the bin filled up within a matter of days after it was empty, and he had to put another call in to get them out. So I'm not sure if they're picking up regularly or they know how busy it is. So that will be discussed. I guess Tom can talk to them about that. But is council okay with that as a service we're providing? I hate to take it away from the public. It's just that we're not going to get any return on investment other than the fact that we're helping the residents with their scrap metal. Now maybe, I don't know what's negotiated, I haven't seen any contract, maybe there will be some money that Adams would pay. Councillor Keck, it looked like you had a question.
Well, no, it does seem like there's $250 per ton, so approximately 410 per bin, minus the
hauling fees
of $400 plus HST per bin, so leaves a net of approximately $600, but then removing the waste haulage to McDougall, $450 per bin. So there might be a little bit on the plus side, but there is a statement in here that is maybe a little bit concerning. Adams is willing to take the bins as they are and perform the necessary sorting and final calculations at their facility. So, with their final calculations, it might be zero.
Yeah, more of a contaminated bin, probably. Somebody threw some plastics in the metal bin.
As long as they're not plastic bags.
Okay. Right. But I think that leaves an out for them, as you said, that they have to sort as well. Councillor Zulak?
Yeah, so I think there was a concern previously by council about monthly or yearly, so they've addressed that in here, that they can do. We were saying that we probably only got invoiced once a year or something, so that here it says that they can issue them monthly or yearly, however staff wants. So if that works for Roshan, that might make it better for them.
Further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 17.2, resolution 24-405, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report FD-2024-14. Month-end status update for June 2024 from Fire Chief Robert Morrison for information purposes. Discussion?
So buildings and other assets, it talks about the new RFP will be developed. Was the roof leak ever addressed?
Yes, so now that the weather's changed, it's not as high of a priority, but there has been a call made to a contractor to fix both the fire station roof and the public works sand dome.
So someone is going to take a look at it?
Yes, and they've provided a quotation, and it's on the books to be fixed.
Okay.
So,
Councilor Zulak?
There was a problem with the sand dome?
Yes, there was a leak in the sand dome.
Okay. So it should have to, can it be repaired? You don't know.
Yes, it's going to be repaired.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. To 19.1. Resolution 24-406, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, for prescribed snowmobile trail land use permission from the Dunamic Snowriders Snowmobile Club, and further direct the acting clerk / administrator to sign the MOU on behalf of the Township. Discussion? Councillor Kekkonen?
So we did review a previous Memorandum of Understanding, November 9th, 2021. And it's very similar to the current one, just a few word changes. And the overall memorandum ensuring that all of the PIN numbers are addressed that the trails cross. I had in my notes there that have it reviewed by our solicitor and our insurance agency in 2021, so I don't know if there was a review done, and you know, then it would save having to do that again just to see what their comments were, so that if there was anything that they felt should be addressed, that I just don't know what the outcome of it was at that time. I couldn't find any report or anything.
I think the one concern I had was on number three. We've talked about this in the past, and I know we've run into these situations where it's on public property, and it was actually part of West Road. I think that was the same organization, and they were shutting off anybody who didn't have a license couldn't travel on West Road. That was corrected that year, because that was a concern, I think, that it's public property, and the way this is worded, it still concerns me, that you can only, if it's on public property, it's only can be used by legally permitted snowmobiles and their riders, and I would argue it's public property, and it's something that the council has to consider. Any public property is just that, public. And so I don't think we can actually discriminate in somebody who uses a portion of the public road and doesn't have a snowmobile license or a license to the Dunham snowmobile riders. I know it's a concern, but I'm also thinking of what we have to do with public property. The public has to be just that. And I don't know exactly what kind of a stretch we're looking at here. It doesn't really specify, I guess, unless you actually go to the mapping and look at what properties we're talking about. But I know we had one concern. It came out of, I don't know whether it was back Balsam or whether it was up onto the
West Road, I think.
I know West Road was one, yeah. And I thought there was another one, too, where it came out onto township property, and we talked about it. That was years back.
It does come onto Balsam as well.
Yeah, to make sure that that section could still be used by anybody. I don't think you're out patrolling anyway and stopping people from, or maybe you are, okay. stopping people from, you know, checking for permits at that particular location, but that would be my concern.
It might be worth mentioning, if I may.
Yeah,
I
think you need the
microphone.
Bill McNeese from Glenna.
Thank you.
Volunteers. So the permit itself is issued by MTO. So it's a provincial. Back in the day, it was issued by the local clubs. But that changed many moons ago. So to obtain a permit, you have to have insurance. You have to be licensed. You know, the machine has to be licensed. And then it's up to actually the OFSC, the Ontario Federation of Snowmobile Clubs, who used to have a trail patrol, and our clubs used to police the trails for permits, etc. That's gone. So it's the OPP who actually do it, and they're not, you know, they don't frequent our trails in the area, but they're out there. So it's not likely that if someone's on Balsam, or we actually do about 100 feet on West Road still, that trail's changed.
Yeah.
But any public road, if a police were to pull someone over, they're not looking for a permit per se, but they're looking to see if this person has insurance. You know, it would be a local person without insurance and without a permit that we're talking about.
Yeah.
That would be the concern. And the OPP aren't in the business of charging them on roadways where it's allowed. It's that.
Yeah.
Helps.
Okay. That helps, yeah. I'm a little out of date here.
Well, yeah. Everything's changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, just give your name for people online.
So. Peter Duffy, Secretary Treasurer of the Snowmobile Riders.
Many hats.
Yeah, many hats. Trying to get involved in the community.
Good.
One of the things he brought up, Mr. Mayor, legally permitted snowmobiles. If it's public, if it's Crown land, you are legally permitted to be there without a trail pass. You can still ride it. If it's private OFC trails,
right,
you have to have the pass. So even John Q. Public going down West Road is legally permitted to be there. All the things that even Bill said. They do have to have insurance. They wouldn't have to be actually licensed to be legally be allowed to be on that trail.
Right. So the wording of Clause 3 is covers that?
I believe it does, yeah, because legally, I'm legally allowed to ride Crown land anywhere I want.
Right.
I don't have to have a trail permit. about to be on a trail to ride to a lake, if I'm going ice fishing and I have fishing gear with me, I don't need a trail permit. If that's my purpose to be on that trail, I'm legally allowed to be there. So when it says is legally permitted, that's following, I believe, all the encompassing rules. Public is allowed to be on public land, right? Without a permit.
Good. I was just interpreting it as needing a permit from the club, but that covers that.
Yeah, so there was some wording changes from the November 2021 version. Basically, the one it says here, I think the name should be Corporation of the Township of McKellar. The Corporation of the Township of McKellar. Here it just says Township of McKellar. That's minor detail, but further down, hereby gives Dynamic Snow Rider Snowmobile Club, hereafter the local snowmobile club and or LSC, a license to enter onto and access. Previously it said permission to legally. Mm-hmm. So are we granting a license? Or are we granting permission?
Permission. Permission.
Okay.
Permission's better word.
So maybe just to change that word in the current version.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the beginning of the...
Which one is that, Councilor McKay?
So it's right before the first point. It's the line right before the first point.
Got it. Thank you.
Anything else on the MOU? Councilor Ryan?
It occurs to me that number six, that I don't, given there isn't actually a sketch, I don't know what, I mean, we could initial the list, but I don't know that that's really anybody's intention in this particular case. Number seven, again, on the basis that many of these are roads, if I'm right in understanding that, Peter. I mean, obviously we wouldn't want the Snowmobile Club maintaining it. I know what that would mean on a trail part of the trail, but I don't know what it would mean on a road, and clearly it would be inappropriate if they did, right? And then you can get into number eight, for that matter. Shall maintain that portion of the lands. I understand this in the general context of a land use permit and where it pertains to trails, like off-road trails, but I mean, I think it simply doesn't apply in our case. I'm not sure that we have to change it. I'm just noticing that that's not consistent with I think anybody's understanding, including the Snowmobile Club, unless you guys think it does. But
not the roadways, no.
No.
But the easements through the private property, through the bush.
Right. Need the mic again, sorry.
It does. Yeah, it does make sense, of course, built there, but yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean just the roadways, but also the trails in the bush, the easements, the town lines. I should mention that this whole thing started with the OFSC coming out with a new land use permit software that all clubs are now required to use. And they've asked us to ensure that every inch of our trail, the landowner has the benefit of a land use permit MOU for the liability side of it. So through that exercise, we've come up with 35 spots for our township, but also Magnetowan, Whitestone, in our case, Seguin, and Carling. So everyone in Ontario, 184 clubs, are dealing with this issue. But it's really to put in writing, because you already have insurance today. If we mess up on the trail, you have insurance to us. But this puts it, this documents it.
Yeah.
So it's an administrative thing more than anything else.
Councilor Zubak?
So none of these are on private property.
These are all township pieces of property.
Okay.
Only.
So none of them are on private.
None of those.
Okay.
No. The other thing, to Councilor Ryan's point about roads, one of the things that we do have to do as a club on public roads is ensure that the banks are cleared out so we can get off them onto the trail. And the other thing that we have to do as well, although maintain may be a little gray, we have to put the signs up. So follow the road to the trail where it crosses. We have to put a, trail A goes up here, signs along. We actually have to do work on public roads to maintain the trails and the crossing. We don't do anything on the road itself.
That's a given.
There is maintenance that we have to do in and around the township roads to make them accessible for people to get on and off.
Yeah, the only thing, go ahead.
And point three, where it says license, I'm going to change that to permission to. I don't like the word license because nobody's giving us any licenses.
We run into, this is years back again too, with ATVs. And when we gave permission throughout the township for the ATVs and people who lived on the unassumed roads, they were actually maintaining those themselves, and they were concerned that we've just given permission now. And I'm not sure of these particular properties, but if they're on unassumed roads, we may get some feedback there that now you've got snowmobiles out there and we don't maintain the unassumed. Some of them we actually plow and sand in the winter, but we don't maintain them. So I'm not sure whether you wouldn't know necessarily what's unassumed and what's assumed, but that might be something we'd have to look into. And that's what, again, to Councillor Ryland, it'd be nice to know the exact areas that are being considered. We have fewer and fewer unassumed roads now, but we still have some. And if you're actually using those, we might get some feedback.
Say, the unassumed roads.
The unassumed roads.
I can't.
They're in various subdivisions mainly, but you're probably on main roads.
Yeah, and even West Road, which you bring up.
Right. No,
from West Road over to Boundary Road.
Right.
So it's that's township easement,
yeah.
And it's unassumed. But the fear is that with snowmobiles riding it, that people would drive down it after, maybe? Is that the concern?
Well, it's just a matter of damage, I guess, to roads that they have to maintain.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So that was a concern.
So we don't really get into any subdivisions.
No. And we've got the one that, I guess, I call it the Ferguson-McCallick boundary, but it's now called Boundary Road, I guess, that goes up to the northwest. That is, snowmobiles use that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know a previous committee that was established thought that that was plowed year-round, and it isn't. I don't think there's anybody accessing that other than snowmobiles in the winter.
Yeah.
So. Okay, any further discussion on this? Councilor Keckman, you have a question? Look again?
No, I'm just wondering if it is going to be forwarded to our insurance provider.
Oh,
insurance.
Okay.
It's not in the resolution, so if you're making an amendment.
I think it's important for them to review it. Unless there's a on file, there's already a report in regards to it.
So we have a wording for amendment?
And further, that the memorandum of understanding dated October or June.
Why didn't we just say the correspondence that's been provided?
Yeah.
Right on these, whatever, five pages, I guess. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah.
Provided to our
insurance
provider.
Sure.
Just the insurance?
You mentioned before that legal counsel looked at the last iteration. Is that? That's what I took away from what you said anyway. But.
Just insurance provider.
Okay.
So we don't have to put, it goes October 1st, 2024, we don't have to put anything in there?
The previous version said and ending, and this version says.
Yeah, at the bottom of the letter that provided by Donna,
it
mentions that,
Debbie.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In the MOU, there's also a start date, and the end date is purposely left blank, like the one in 21 that Councillor Keckinen referred to. And that's only because you don't want to see us every year signing an agreement, and that has taken up council time. But the memorandum also gives either party 60 days notice to cancel the agreement, so that's fairly safe.
Covers this,
I think.
last MOU, did it say the the corporation of the Township of McKellar?
No, it didn't have any name there at all. At the on the top here, it didn't have any name.
Oh.
Just a note. Memorandum of understanding describes Mobile Trail land use permission.
Down here too.
And so there is no name of the landowner at the top. It's just down at the bottom.
At least this one has, right? Even if it just says the Township of McKellar, I don't know if that's a showstopper for us or anything, if we'd like to amend it.
The legal name is Corporation of the Township of McKellar.
Yeah.
I think they're making a couple of amendments anyway, so.
And we'll include that one?
Yeah.
Township of the corporation.
Corporation.
We'll have the secretary do that now.
He's got a very small laptop over there that I can't see.
He's got a lap.
Yeah, he's got a lap and a top to his lap, right? So.
So the amendment is to delete, to sign the MOU on behalf of the township, and to add to send the MOU dated June 10th, 2024 to the township's insurance provider prior to signing. Any discussion on that amendment? Call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? None opposed. And on the amended resolution itself, all those in favor? None opposed. Carried. I think it's understood. Time is of the essence, so we shouldn't be holding this up for any length of time. Insurance provider, we can't guarantee that they'll come back to us right away, but we'll start pushing for it. So
October, November will be. And if it's late last year, moot point.
Yep. Okay, great. Well, thank you for coming too. That just helped clarify a lot of things tonight. So.
Thank you very much.
The glitch, I don't know what it is.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
On to motion, notice of motion. Resolution 24-407, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the quotation from EA Shipman Electric Limited to install a light standard at the southeast corner of Highway 124 and McKellar Ferguson Boundary Road, and further direct staff to retain Shipman Electric to complete their work. Discussion? Councillor Tegan?
I believe we budgeted for this in this year's budget $8,000 for that. Street lighting and under street lighting. The previous year, the amount budgeted was, I believe, it was $1,500. So it's being accounted for in this year's budget.
It's coming in under budget, and we hope that none of the bulbs go, so on the other ones, shouldn't have too many costs. Call the question then, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Yeah, resolution 24-408, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Tekkinen. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby approve the appointment of Kathy DeGara and Francis DeGara to the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee. Discussion?
Yes, actually, Kathy showed up to our last meeting, and she sounds quite enthusiastic about, she presently plays pickleball here, but she's already going to volunteer for a couple events coming up. So, sounds like it might be a good addition to our committee.
I'm just wondering why the application, even though there was redacted sections, were in the public portion of the council meeting package. Usually this is not in a public portion of the council meeting.
Yes, you're correct. Usually it is in the close. That was just a mistake on my part. But previously we have had the application forms in the public meeting, but I can take those out going forward.
I think so, because unless they sign a release that they want to make the information public.
Yeah, and speaking of which, too, and we talked about that form before, I think it's another one that has to be updated as well as the rezoning, because there are clauses in there that I'm not sure if they're valid. I mean, it talks about the township liability coverage, and we've never really had that clarified to our satisfaction anyway that they are covered. And it's an old form, I know, and it's something I think we have to revisit. And I also notice, speaking of forms, it's sort of tied in with that too. The application for delegation tonight was the old form, 2019, instead of the new one. And we've told the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee time and time again to use the new form. It's available online. And so I'm thinking they should be using that one. So. Okay. Any further discussion on this with the new recreation members? Call the question. All those in favor? And opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-409, moved by Councillor Ryan, seconded by Councillor Haskin, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved of an in-kind donation to community support services for use of the McKellar Community Hall, including kitchen, equipment, tables, chairs, etc., for an agreed-upon date and time to host a Senior Active Living Center SALC program. Discussion? Councillor Zula?
I know in our Belvedere meetings that the CSS has come and, you know, they do a report and everything, and I remember asking before if they're ever going to do anything in McKellar, because they were doing them in all other different places, but this, I didn't realize this was going to be this soon. They never mentioned anything at the last meeting, so I have nothing to add to this.
Should we add an amendment to that saying subject to availability? I don't remember the last line that you read, David, but...
Agreed upon date and time.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's
fair enough, yeah. Okay.
I do know that they offer a lot of stuff and it's really helpful to people, so that's why when they were saying they did it in Rossall and Carling and that, I was saying, are you ever going to do anything in McKellar? So,
Oh, they've been in Whitestone, too. So.
Yeah.
No, I was happy to see that for sure. So,
So another great additional activity for our citizens. So, strongly support this.
Okay. Okay, call the question. All in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Yeah, resolution 24-410, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, seconded by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar does hereby receive the cybersecurity for municipal councillors web publication from AMO, and further authorize Councillor Nick Ryland to take part of the training at a cost of $300 plus HST. Discussion? Councillor Kekkonen?
I think that we're reviewing our IT programming currently, and the proponents have indicated that they're going to provide extensive and training specific to our systems and needs, so I'm wondering if we go through that process, and if I'm hoping it's comprehensive.
Well, I'm just noticing as I look through it, even though it's called municipal counselors, throughout they keep referencing staff.
And I don't too.
I'm thinking it's probably more beneficial to, since our staff members will be here, rather than having a counselor get it, whatever information's there, and then try to relay it, it's the staff that controls the cybersecurity. And as you say, with the new company coming in, I'm thinking that much of this will be covered already, but I'll put it out to council and see. I'm just not trying to say that counselors can't attend these, but I'm just the way they describe it even, it sounds more like it's a staff thing. And whatever you would pick up, of course, it would have to be related to staff, because, and I'm thinking might be much better if staff was just online, if they thought they had to, but as Councillor Kekkonen said, maybe we don't have to at this stage. So.
I'm happy in either with either direction, so.
Other thoughts? want to amend it, but call the question. All those in favor?
I'll vote in favor, why not? But.
Two in favor, three opposed. Okay, so it's defeated.
Okay.
And if the review that we have isn't substantial enough, then there'll be another one that's offered. So.
Yeah, it is some time away. So, I mean, if that's what we got out of the review, then maybe it's worth it. If not, then we won't. So.
And it can be brought back to the table.
Yeah, $300 is $300. So.
I was thinking if they're going to do the training, I like for us, but then they do ours. If there's a training.
Did you get that from the last meeting?
Yeah, I thought
you?
He said it. Did he not say
yeah.
there would be training?
Specific
yeah.
to that.
But I think their mistake and their misunderstanding, frankly, during that presentation is that we would be users of the McKellar's network and what have you, which I don't, and I can't imagine that you do. Right? So in other words, their whole presentation was geared to us as being people that use this system, and we don't. I don't think any of us do. Right? So, I mean, it's kind of... Having said that, it had great value. I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying that I don't think that if we were to ask them the question, do you think that the counselors have laptops and or any access to our network? Right? Because I think that they think we do. But I know that I don't.
Well,
anyway,
we asked that, didn't we? When we said no.
Yeah. But it was if the tone of the presentation was as if we were, that was my view anyhow. But and it doesn't cause me any concern because their statements are still valid. But I'm just saying that because it's a misunderstanding. If they were to spend time training us, I'm not sure what applicability that would have to anything that we do. So
on to 20.5. Have resolution 24-411 moved by Councilor Pekkanen, second by Councilor Zulak. Whereas a request for proposal was issued in early 2024 for the Township's Information Technology Services, and whereas Near North Business Machine submitted a proposal recommending a network assessment to obtain a comprehensive overview of the Township's IT infrastructure and security measures, and whereas the network assessment has been completed, Near North Business Machines presented their findings to the Council. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar hereby awards RFP number 2024-01. Near North Business Machines, and further that a term be negotiated with NNBM, Near North Business Machines. Discussion? Councilor Ryan?
Wouldn't it normally be our case, especially for other RFPs, to mention an amount? I'm just thinking in terms of transparency to ratepayers. I mean, it doesn't say that, and I know there's some variables in that pricing,
be.
But even if we just said estimated to be
approximately,
yeah,
that's fair enough. Yeah.
I mean, it's not a small expense, it's not monstrous either, but it's not small, so
but it's the same situation sort of thing. At what cost if you don't do it? So,
I agree, and that's certainly what I got from the presentation was that there was a real very strong risk in not doing it. So, in the worst case scenario, a catastrophic risk, right?
So the amendment is to add approximately $2,132.86 plus applicable HST per month. Any discussion on the amendment? Councilor Rudd?
Shouldn't we say the net of that versus our existing contractor?
No, not necessarily.
Well, it leaves the impression then that we would be paying $24,000, give or take, right? Which is not true, because when we terminate the other contract, then we would still only be out $1,000 a month. Do you follow?
This is this agreement. Like, that's what this agreement is going to cost us. Like,
but,
this is
yeah, gross, but not net.
There's only one. It's that's what we're not going to have another. This is what it's going to cost.
But
hence
my point. We're paying another contractor today that we will cease paying, and therefore the cost to us is the net of what we're paying the existing contractor versus what we're going to pay the new contractor, and that works out to roughly $1,000 a month.
That's not something we have to put into this particular resolution.
I'm okay with whatever council wants on this. But
it's sort of understood that if you enter into a new agreement, the old one's gone. So we, when we did, except with the our Starlink, of course, we've kept the old one with ViaNet as a backup. But in that case, too, the same sort of thing. We could mention what ViaNet was costing, but and what we're saving by not having it. I know where you're going with it, but I don't know if it's necessary in this particular resolution.
Well, then, would you mind amending it to saying a gross amount of 2132, or whatever the exact number is? Can I propose that as amendment? And then it's clear to me that that's the gross, not the net.
Okay, we've got a second amendment now.
Well, it's just for clarity's sake. That's my only point.
I don't think so. Read that last line as amended.
Approximately
2000. Well, so start with now, therefore. Is that where that is?
Okay. Well, it's just been added to the very end, but now, therefore, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar hereby awards RFP number 2024-01 to Near North Business Machines, and further that a term be negotiated with Near North Business Machines at approximately $2,132.86 plus applicable HST per month.
Yeah, I think that says it.
Okay, call the question first of all on the amendment. All those in favor?
I was just wondering whether approximately should have been up to.
Yeah.
You want to amend the amendment? Okay. That's a good point. Because it could go over, you're right, if you don't say that. So the amendment is up to $2,132.86 plus applicable HST per month. So what the amended amendment, first of all those in favor? In the amendment, all those in favor? And on the resolution itself, as amended, twice. Carried. All those in favor? Carried. On to 21.1, resolution 24-412, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2024-58, being a bylaw to enter into a municipal funding agreement with the Association of Municipalities of Ontario under the Canada Community Building Fund, the first and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open council the second day of July 2024. Discussion? Councillor Zulak?
On page 4, under term of the agreement, I just have a question here. It says agreement shall come into effect as of April 1st, 2024, up to and including March 31st, 2034. My understanding was it was only for 5 years. Am I reading this wrong?
I need clarification on what this application is for.
This is formerly the gas tax. So this is the new program. So it's called
Canada Community
Building Fund. So this is AKA the gas tax.
So this is not the disbursement.
Oh, this is not for the thing? Because I thought I seen in here where it said a million.
No, this is not the debenture bylaw.
Okay.
Well, let's add on a few more years. Huh?
Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's just if they gradually keep increasing it, I'm not sure how long it will last or what amount. But what are we getting now, roughly, at the gas tax? It's 8,000. I don't want to put you on the spot here.
I think. Yeah.
89,227.
Thank you. For 2024.
So this just keeps going. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 21.2, resolution 24-413, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2024-59, being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 95-12 with respect to lands legally described as parcel 15399, section SS, part law A, concession 8, McKellar, part 11, PSR 1475. And It's 195 Manitou Drive, a first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed at open council the second day of July 2024. Discussion? Now, just for clarification on this particular one, too, with advice from our planner, that we were looking initially at amending the previous bylaw, 49, but the planner had said you should be amending the zoning bylaw, 95-12. And this is what she carried out, and she put it together for us. And we also have information from the planning board, through the planning board, from Territorial Land Surveyor, I believe, who said that the PSR is different from the plan of subdivision. And so in his particular interpretation with his degree, saying that deeming bylaw is not required. And the actual acceptance, the complete application, I believe, was back in April. I don't really have an actual date. There is a resolution deeming the application complete. And it's April, it's just a question of getting actual day. So any other discussion, questions from council? As in past experience, we'll open it up to the public as well if they have any particular comments, concerns.
Okay, I don't even know what I am here on, Mr. Mayor. I can't even hear anybody because the microphones keep cutting out.
We've had them checked, and it's unfortunate because we'll have to make sure there's not at your end, because other people have been able to communicate with us, so we'll have to review again and see if we can fix that. But,
April 16th.
So yes, we're on the item 21.2, if you have any particular comments.
I sent some comments in. I mean, the bylaw that the council passed is not yet in full force and effect, because the appeal period doesn't end until July 8th, so you really should be doing an amendment to 24-49. I sent you a sample of the bylaw that could be passed to allow this amendment. You can't. There's no way to. The council's already passed the bylaw and given notice. So to correct it, you're going to have to amend that original bylaw that you passed to do it properly.
Well, that's what we had forwarded to our planner, and this is what she advised we do.
I wouldn't know what the advice is, because there's nothing but this bylaw on the agenda. But can you understand that council passed the bylaw, 2024-49? They gave notice of the passage of that bylaw. They're now trying to amend bylaw 95-12, but bylaw 2024-49 is not yet in effect. You have to amend 2024-49. So I don't know who you're getting your advice from. No idea.
I was a certified planner, and I'd originally gone with what you were talking about as well, but this is the advice that we've been given, that we amend 95-12, so. Okay, call the question to council.
Have we seen that, have we got that in writing from the plan? That this is the way to do it?
I believe we do, yes.
Well, why isn't it on the agenda?
It was email correspondence to deal with the issue.
Yeah, but you surely have a planning report outlining the issue. I think I sent comments in bringing this issue to council's attention, did I not? Because the planner who drafted it originally didn't allow for accessory buildings, only the accessory structures.
Right, we have that planning report, and we have comments to take us through this evening, what we should be doing to correct the technical amendment.
Mr. Mayor, I've given lectures on drafting bylaws. I mean, how can you amend a bylaw that is not yet in full force and effect? And is the amendment you're not trying to make to the original bylaw 2024-49? Because that is the bylaw that takes precedence over 95-12 as a section 16 exception.
If I remember correctly, I think we had this disagreement with the planners with some application on, I don't know, was it an Island View or Charles? I can't remember. And the planner at the time had suggested it has to deal with 95-12. So we're back into a similar situation here.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, on Island View, I think they wanted the accessory building to be on the lot only, and the lot was not connected to the island, correct?
Right.
This is a totally different situation.
Oh, what I'm saying is that there was a disagreement at the time on what should be referenced, 95-12 or the bylaw, and they went with 95-12. They disagreed that it should be the actual bylaw itself, and she's using the same information here, that it has to be the original 95-12. The special provision that's being amended.
95-12 was in effect for Island View. There was no exception. You were amending bylaw 95-12 to allow for the accessory building on the lot without a main building. Here, you have a main building. All you want to do am I not correct? You want to legalize this garage?
Our planner is suggesting that this is the way to do it, so this is what council is going with. Our paid planning advice.
Well, it's incorrect, but I'm not going to argue with it. You can do what you want.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion from council? Call the question then. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried.
I would like to see the correspondence from the planner indicating that this is the way to do it. And I'll be contacting Carly to get it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any new business? It's sort of new business for now, and I'm just wondering if anything has been done about it. I never really got an answer from council.
stay out there.
My concern at the time was that there could be future development too on this property, as they mentioned. And I had said maybe we should be getting, and no offense to Patrick, who's the Secretary of Treasurer, who gave a report, that we should be getting a planning report on this particular piece of property. And I think it is important now too, since we're talking, I mentioned about the phosphorus level, trophic status of the lake, and it was actually in Patrick's notes. And that's coming up for discussion as we visit the official plan and the zoning bylaw, and whether or not we continue with that policy. And I'm thinking we need an outside planning report on this particular application to see if mitigation measures can be undertaken, or whether it's okay as it is with the size, with the waterfront 160 meters, whether the setbacks are okay, whether there has to be an environmental study, because it could be future development on that small lake. And that's why I'm thinking we need a third-party planning report on that particular application. I have no idea when it's coming to the planning board, because we don't have any agenda yet. But I'm thinking we should be, on this one in particular, looking at a planning report. And if they recommend an environmental study, then that's what we have to consider as well. But I'm just thinking we need more legal advice on that. Not legal, but planning advice at this stage. Mainly because it's the first of many proposals, by the sounds of it, applications of severances.
Did we not pass a resolution of some sort last meeting regarding that?
It was all deferred, I believe.
All deferred. Oh.
Yeah. And so what I was saying is nothing has happened since, and that's why I'm asking where I have a direction, that we get some advice.
Yeah,
before.
We should try to keep it rolling, yeah.
Yeah. Councilor Ryan?
I'm not sure exactly what words I should use here, but suffice to say that in our discussions about updates to the official plan.
Now, don't go too far into that.
I won't.
That's another.
But there was a discussion that would bear on that exact issue of,
yes,
the trophic,
definitely,
status of the lake.
Yeah.
That is a matter of some considerable debate when we went further to investigate and look for detailed information on that issue. A committee is looking at that in detail and has contacted other subject matter experts. I'll just say that. So, I mean, I have no problem with what you've just said, but I think we need to take that issue into consideration too, because it bears on the basic principle of the trophic status.
What would happen right now if we got a planning report and it would be based on our existing official plan? And it's in there.
Notwithstanding that, but if the science has changed, then that needs to be considered, not the least of which is because it could potentially cost a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we can deal with the science being changed for this particular application, because it predates any change that we're making to the official plan. And I think if you get discussing that, we should have Councillor Zulak back, because that's a general comment on the whole,
sure,
policy.
Sure.
And July the 8th is the next meeting for the zoning bylaw, which is open to the public at 1 o'clock. And I'm thinking that's where we can bring up these issues again as well.
Okay.
Would Council like John Jackson to do the report, or Jill Richards?
I would think we would go with Richards, who's been doing most of them for us. And that would avoid any particular possible conflict as well, so, by having them do the independent study.
Any specific studies that need to be mentioned, or just a overall
planning?
Just
a planning
report
on the application,
okay.
I think is all you have to do.
Do you want me to go on?
Shortly. 24-415, moved by Councilor Haskell, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar does hereby direct staff to obtain a planning report for consent application number B20/2024 Greenwood from J.O. Richards and Associates. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
I was going to come up and ask you if you heard anything. Okay. But not out there, you wouldn't. So.
Well, I didn't want to hear.
Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Councilor Keckley.
So I just want to report on the West Curtis Sound OPP Detachment Board and where things are at. So the new Community Safety and Policing Act 2019 for the province of Ontario came into effect April 1st, 2024. The legislation requires detachment boards be established for all police service detachments in the province. The West Curtis Sound OPP Detachment provides police services to Carling Township, Henvey, Inlet First Nation, Municipality of McDougall, McKellar Township, Town of Curtis Sound, Seguin Township, the Archipelago Township, and the Municipality of Whitestone. A 12-member board will be established for this detachment, consisting of one member appointed by each of those municipalities and a First Nation member who is a member of a council or a band. Two members jointly appointed by the above municipalities and First Nation who are neither members of the council or band council of nor employees of any of the municipalities or of the First Nation. Two members appointed by the minister along with legislative duties. The West Curtis Sound OPP Detachment Board is considered a bridge between the community and the police. The board takes an active role in hearing community concerns and addressing them with the detachment commander or their designate. Community representatives, the member councils are recruiting two community representatives for the OPP Detachment Board for the remaining term of council. The end of the current term of council is October 26, 2026. This position is an opportunity for a qualified resident to determine objectives and priorities for the West Curtis Sound OPP Detachment to enhance the quality of life and ensure the safety and security of all persons and property in the community in keeping with the Minister of the Solicitor General's strategic plan. The successful candidate shall be required to provide a clean criminal record check and complete mandatory provincial training prior to being eligible to serve. Letters of interest accompanied by a current prepared within the past 12 months criminal record check for the community representative appointments will be received by Lori West, Administrator, West Curtis Sound OPP Detachment Board, 5 Beringer Boulevard, McDougall, Ontario, P2A2W9, and her email address is lwest@mcdougall.ca. There's a link on our township website when you go under committees, and then you follow down, and it's West Curtis Sound OPP Detachment. If anyone is interested in submitting an application, please do.
Okay, now the public wouldn't necessarily know to go to committees. Is there a notice section that we can put it in?
That would be great if we could put a notice out as well.
Now, I won't ask how the group, the organization is going to determine. If you get many applications from different townships, then I guess I'll have to work on how you're going to choose. But that's good. They have the opportunity, certainly, and we'll leave it to the new Police Services Board to.
I think that the applications will come forward to the member municipalities.
Oh.
And similar with when we're selecting representatives for DSAB.
Okay.
Or Belvedere, and then there has to be consensus among the municipalities.
That's interesting. That might slow down the process, but
it might slow down the process, but we can still meet as a board as long as we have quorum, which
right.
We will have with the current appointed members municipal representatives.
province is choosing two people too, so
yes.
They'll advertise the way they do. Yeah.
On the Solicitor General website.
And that's all broken down, and I commend you for that. Everybody has one vote, right? So it's not a matter of one township representing three townships, or
no, one vote.
Okay.
That's good.
That's good. Still no costs associated with the municipalities, so
there will be.
There will be.
Yeah, because McDougall's taken on the administrative role of the board, and so yes, there will be a cost to the municipalities.
And that'll be divvied up evenly as well.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good. And these meetings are all open to the public.
Yes, all open to the public. Agendas will be posted. There hasn't been a meeting scheduled yet, but there will be.
And how do you deal with, would there be some closed sessions? Because probably confidential information.
Absolutely, same structure as municipalities. There are closed sessions.
Okay, sounds good. Any further comments on that? Councilor Pekkinen can answer. Okay, any other committees, workshops?
I could give one on RibFest, which I'm just a ratepayer member. I don't represent council, and everybody, I make that point regularly. Lots of meetings and everything else, and recently I know that we have gone over 300, perhaps even 350 tickets being sold, which is great. A few weeks ago we were just barely over 100. What it teaches me is that people always wait till the last minute, and if you think everybody else is going and they won't be able to, then they jump in and buy tickets. I know Steve McDonnell or MLCA was selling tickets at the market last Saturday, and he never gave me a number, but he did say he sold quite a few while he was there. And we expect to certainly have, I'm going to say 350 to 400 ticket holders. We have to establish those numbers by tomorrow, because we agreed as a committee in terms of ordering the, or picking up the supplies, the ribs in particularly, to make sure that we don't over-order or under-order for that matter. And there is a contingency built in, because there's always some anomalies, I'm going to call them that anyhow. So it's looking good for Sunday. Certainly a lot of committee work in terms of who's doing what, and a lot of volunteers, which is really great. And I know Steve McDonnell had posted, you know, looking for volunteers, and has got good responses to that too. So I'm hoping that we'll be as good or better than last year. There's some issues that we had last year. I think we've addressed those. I hope we have. We'll find out. But anyhow, and if you don't have tickets, you should buy some. So I'll just say that. But anyhow, I think it'll be fun, which is kind of my view of what it's all about anyhow. So, and Public Works has been great in helping. I had a conversation with Ward before Tom was on board, and had one with or two actually, last Friday, I think, with Tom, just about some of the things that Public Works has done for us in the past, about providing the snow fence, the garbage bins, a bunch of things like that, and they've been exceedingly helpful. Tom gave me great confidence. He's saying, we'll look after it. You know, I gave him some documents he asked for, and he says, we'll look after it, it'll get done. So, anyhow, which is great, and I think it's a good, an excellent community event, and I think, frankly, it's the best one in the area. I'll say that, because if I don't, who will? So, anyway.
Other comments?
Yeah, because I think Perry Sound, they're not having
no.
The Rib Fest. Huh?
No.
I had a recreation meeting. Do you know currently the youth basketball program? Is that still going on? Do you know?
They stopped for the summer just because there's
okay.
So many other area sports for kids throughout the summer, but they're looking to start back up again in the fall and definitely
right.
Through the winter, but they're just on a break right now.
Okay, very good. Okay, movie nights are discontinued for the summer. We'll start up again in September. We had to cancel the community get together in Broadbent because of the weather. Broadbent ballpark survey, have you been receiving?
Yes, I've been receiving those, yeah.
Okay. We have a fish and fun coming up on July 13th. We're really hoping we get good weather for that, because between weather and COVID, we've kind of been getting euchred on that one. And then we discussed our involvement in the fall fair and the spring dance, so lots going on. I think that's about it. There'll be a canoe kayak trip on August 4th. Summer dance is August 24th. and we rescheduled the community get together in Broadbent to September 14th.
Oh, okay.
There's just so much going on, but.
When's the fair?
Week before that.
Oh.
7th.
Yeah.
Which will be involved in that also. So. Yeah. So.
Sounds good. Anyone else? Okay, resolution 24-416, moved by Councilor Peckin, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation Township of Keller has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to pull from that? Not too much on the list. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Any questions, comments, items on the agenda from the public, either in person or on Zoom?
Mr. Mayor, I only have one question that I can ask. The bylaw that was before council tonight at 195 Manatee Drive, was that given third reading?
Yes, I believe it was, yes.
Can I ask, when was the public notice given for this bylaw?
I think it was just a technical amendment from the previous.
And when was public notice given for this bylaw, which is an amendment to bylaw 95-12?
On the planner's advice, we just made a technical amendment. No notice.
No, so don't have to give notice.
No notice required.
Why?
Technical amendment, we were told.
Hey, well, Mr. Mayor, the Planning Act requires notice.
As I said before, hopefully I'll end it here. We're getting planning advice, and this is what we were told. So this is the advice we're told.
I'm going to be asking for that planning advice from Carmen.
Yes,
okay?
We heard that. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
So we have resolution 24-417, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation Township of Keller is hereby given bylaw number 2024-60. Being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of council the first and second reading, further read a third time and passed at open council the second day of July 2024. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 24-418, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Pekkanen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
8:23 p.m.
Meet again on July the 8th, 2024, for a special meeting of Council to hold further discussions on the Township's official plan and zoning bylaw